sermon for you guys today. Who's ready? I am committed to preach at least one Friday Fire each month. So I've scheduled myself for the next four or five months to preach every first Friday Fire. So you're going to see my face right here. Yes. And it's the year of rest, and last week I talked about how the year of rest, a huge part about resting in the Lord is to hear His voice, you know, and to really hear the voice of the Lord. I want you guys to turn your Bibles to John chapter 10, verse 27. I look old today because I didn't put any gel in my hair. I ran out, so I look like an old Korean man, right? Yeah. I looked at myself in the elevator. I was like, "Whoa, I look like Ajashi." Just a little bit helps, man. But I don't even have anything left. And I was like, "Oh man, I need to get some wax. Make me look young." All right. So John chapter 10, verse 27. Let's read it together in the ESV. 1, 2, 3. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, hearing the voice of God is one of the greatest benefits of intimate relationship with our Lord. God, when He created Adam and Eve, He created them for a relationship, but He also created them to communicate with Him. Now, when God comes, He's like, Adam and Eve, where are you? And they're able to hear His voice because, in essence, they were created to communicate with God, to commune with God. And we, being God's redeemed people, we are able to hear His voice. John 10:27, it doesn't say, some of my sheep will hear my voice. It doesn't say, my sheep may hear my voice. But it says, my sheep hear my voice. That is something that we have. When we become Christians and the Holy Spirit lives in us, we start to hear the voice of the Lord. And hearing His voice is such an important aspect of a relationship with God. Not just that, but hearing His voice is an imperative part and a catalyst in having an intimate relationship with God. So not only is hearing the voice of the Lord important, but hearing His voice is actually the catalyst in having an important intimate relationship with God. Some of you guys have become very good friends here in this group. And yes, you guys do many things together, like watching movies. You know, you guys watch documentaries in Spanish. You work together. You guys do WADs together.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the closeness of your relationship came when you guys conversed with each other in conversation. You guys heard each other out. You guys opened up to each other's hearts. And you guys were able to talk and communicate, and that's what brought you guys closer to each other. Mina, you know, she's more in touch with her emotions and feelings than me. And so she knows that we need to connect in conversation, and that true key to conversation is listening. And she'll ask me, like, she's like, I want to hang out with you. I want to spend time with you. And I was like, oh, man, let's watch some TV. And she's like, that's not hanging out. That's not spending time. I'm like, what are you talking about? We're just here watching together. We talk about what we just saw. Like, no. True communion, true like conversation, true connection happens when there is listening involved. You guys have to understand, true communication without listening is not communication. It's like that with our earthly relationships, and it's the same with our relationship with God in the Spirit. We need to listen for His voice. What is He talking about? What is He telling us? How is He directing us? How is He guiding us? The greatest benefit to hearing the voice of God, you know what the greatest benefit of hearing His voice is? He wants to give you knowledge. The benefit of hearing His voice is the knowledge of God. His ways, His heart, His values, how He sees things. That's the benefit of hearing His voice. It's His knowledge. When He speaks to us, it's to tell us what He knows. No, not everything that He knows, but knowledge of what He wants us to know at that time. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected my knowledge. So many times God speaks his knowledge over us, but we're not listening. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. He's saying God wants to multiply grace and peace over us through his knowledge if we would just listen to what he's saying. A lot of times when we have a lack of grace and peace, it's a lack of hearing his voice. There's times where I feel all anxious, where I feel like almost in a place of fear. And I'm like, what's going on? And I realize that I've been listening to a lot of things. I've been listening to a lot of people, but I haven't been listening for the voice of the Lord. The problem is a knowledge problem, and it's actually a listening problem. Holy Spirit leads us in all things of truth. He wants to teach us his ways, and we have to hear his voice. You know, for decisions that we make in our lives, you have to hear for the voice of the Lord. When people live their lives and make horrible decisions, and it comes down to following their own reasoning, their own heart, their emotion, and not following the voice of the Lord. Now, people will get married, and it ends in divorce. They're like, oh, well, that really sucked. Let's try again with another one. And in the meantime, there's no lessons learned, and there's no knowledge gained, because they're not listening to the voice of the Lord. It's like a blind man walking through a house. Okay? It's a blind man walking to a new house. Is how we navigate our lives without hearing from the voice of the Lord. We'll bump into things. Oh, okay, I can't go there. Then let me just try to go here. Oh, I can't go there. And we live lives just making decisions based on our emotions and what we think. But the key is so important to hear the voice of God. Now here's the kicker. Here's what's the important part about all this. Okay, in order for us to hear the voice of the Lord, we have to desire to hear the voice of the Lord. Because as long as we can live our lives without hearing God's voice, we will. As long as we can live our lives without hearing God's voice, we're gonna keep living our lives without hearing his voice. We have to come to a place where we want to hear his voice. We can no longer be content with living through trial and error. And it comes from a desire, a hunger to hear his voice and to know his ways. You got to want to hear his voice. It's like any relationship. You have to desire talking to the person you are talking to. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and they're just distracted? They don't even want to be in that conversation. You know, it's like you're talking about, like, oh, you know, like I watched the Spanish documentary. Huh? What? You ate Spanish food? No, I watched this Spanish documentary. Oh, I love Spanish food. You know, like there people that, you know, it's like when we talk with people that don't want to be in that conversation, they tend to not listen, and it's very unproductive. If you want to live a life hearing from the Lord, you have to want to hear his voice. There needs to be a true desire to hear his voice, because hearing his voice is not easy. I'm not talking about hearing his voice once in a while. Every Christian has heard God's voice at least once. But I'm talking about a lifestyle that seeks to hear his voice. Big reason why people don't hear from the Lord clearly is because they can live without it. They can live without hearing his voice. There are things in their hearts that they need more. There are things that they'd rather hear more than the voice of the Lord. Things that their hearts desire more than the voice of the Lord. And so they can live their lives without hearing his voice, and it's okay. But God says it's not okay. It's easy to hear God when he says he wants to bless you and says, I love you to you. That's easy to hear God's voice then, right? Like, we're like, oh, Chelsea, I love you. I want to bless you. I just want to pour out favor upon you. It's easier to hear God's voice when that's what he wants to say. But when God's voice is telling you, you know what? I want you to forgive your coworker. And you just switch your situation to, it's her fault. It's her fault. She started it. You know, it's so easy to hear for God's voice when it's all love and blessing and goodness. When God calls you to do something that's a little bit difficult, it's not so easy to hear His voice anymore. It's not easy to hear the voice of the Lord. It's not because He's not speaking to us. It's because a lot of the times we put things in our lives that sound louder than God. And we drown Him out. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And when we seek Him, we will find Him. When we seek Him with all of our heart. When we listen and we will hear Him. When we seek to listen to Him with all of our heart. We have to put His voice as a primary, number one voice in our lives. Now, in our Bible study last week, we covered this passage about receiving the kingdom of God like a child. And you know, when we listen for the voice of God, we have to listen like a child. Notice, you know, children study their parents' voice so much when they're young that they're able to pick them out of a crowd. And when Ethan is playing and then Mina goes, "Ethan," or like she hears, he hears his voice, like he turns right away. His ears are tuned to our voices, me and Mina's voices. When I was young, I went to a Korean market. In L.A., Korean markets are scary. It's huge. It's not like a small market. It's a huge, full-on. They'll take over like a full grocery store and make it a Korean market, right? It's huge. And there's Korean women everywhere, yelling everywhere. Right? One time I was really young. It was like this big Korean market in Koreatown. And I got lost. I couldn't find my mom. And I was like, oh, snap. There's Korean women everywhere. Where's my mom? And I was going, you know how you go up and down the aisles and you look at the aisle and, oh, they're not there. You look at the aisle, they're not there. You look at the aisle. And I was like, oh, I went through all the aisles. Like, oh, snap, I don't see my mom. And one time, she actually left me, by the way. She went home, she got in the car, and then she realized, oh, I got to go back for my son. And I was like going to each aisle. Oh, she's not here. Like, maybe she's like, maybe in on the other side of the aisle. I'll go on both sides. But this time, it was at the Korean market. I'm looking for my confinder. But out of all of the Korean women's voices that are talking about how much is this and this is not fresh and what, I heard my mom's voice and I was like, oh, there's my mom right there. I didn't have to see her. I heard her. I heard her by the big Korean cabbages talking about like how much, like this is too expensive and whatnot. I heard her. I could pick her out of a crowd. And that's, you know what? That's the way that we have to hear God's voice. His voice has to be first in our priority. And we have to seek to hear His voice. Desire and hunger to hear His voice. Because when we get into this groove of being able to live our lives without hearing His voice, we will keep living that way. So the main point of my sermon today is voices that distract us from the voice of God. Now, I was going to actually do this all in one sermon, and then I had to stop because I realized it was going to be like an hour and a half sermon. So I broke it into two series. So this is the first part. I'm going to talk about it today, is voices that distract us from the voice of God. And then next time, either this upcoming Sunday or the next Friday Fire I preach, I'm going to talk about how does God speak? How does God speak to us? In what ways and in what ways does He choose to speak to us? And so today we're going to talk about voices that can distract us from the voice of God. There's so many things in our lives that distract us from hearing God's voice. One of the things that does it is the voice of things. Facebook, email, Twitter, Instagram, iPhones, iPads, Apple Watches, PS4, John Madden Football, Netflix, buying a new computer. All of these things can drown out, easily drown out the voice of the Lord. I remember when I was about to get my smoker for my birthday, and I was so excited. And I remember for about a week, every free time I got, I would look at Texas barbecue videos. And it was a natural progression of just like every time I sat down in the computer and I had some free time, I'd be like, oh, how do you make brisket here? Oh, how do they make ribs here? I got so into it. You know what? But that's like there's so many things. Like when we open our computer, there are so many things that can distract us from the voice of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that these things are inherently bad, but we have to know what our priorities are. You know, recently, last week I made a decision, but before that, God's been putting on my heart that John Madden football is a big distraction in my life. You know, it took a lot of the Holy Spirit leading to help me to realize this. It's a video game about football. It was football season, and it really was a huge distraction in my life. And about 2 weeks ago, God led me to stop playing. It is hard, but then I realized, you know what? What I realized is like, God, do I want to play this game more than spending time with you? And then for a second, I was like, yeah. I actually did. I was like he asked me, like, do you want to spend time with me or play Madden? And I was like, you know what? I'd rather play Madden, God. And I had to check myself. And I said, oh, man. Holy Spirit brought conviction. When Holy Spirit, like, Mina can tell me, stop playing all he wanted. And I'm like, nope, not going to do it. But when Holy Spirit leads you and say, you know what? You got to stop playing that video game for a while. And Holy Spirit brought me conviction. I realized that, man, I need to silence some of these things in my life that are distracting me from hearing the voice of the Lord. I realized it's just a bucket of all the things that has a potential of distracting me from hearing God's voice. And in doing that, we have to put his voice as a priority. We have to put his voice as a priority. To remain and listen and to hear his voice. Hear how he's speaking to you. That needs to be a priority in our lives. The next point I want to make is that what distracts us from hearing the voice of God is the busyness of our day. Our work, our job, family, friends, even church activities sometimes can keep us from hearing the voice of God. Now, I've said this in my previous sermon, but although being ambitious is a good thing, if our ambition and our striving is getting in the way of hearing God's voice, we have to set new priorities. We have to understand God when he tells us, be still and know that I am God. He tells us that, be still and know that I am God. Be still and just remain in my presence. And I used to work for TCS. Before I went full-time with staff, I talked to you guys about this. I worked for TCS, which is the Egypt of Hagwons. If there ever was a Hagwon that was like Egypt, it would be TCS. They worked us. They worked us hard. If Anastasia knows, she worked with me. From the moment I get there to the moment I leave, there's no breaks. And if there's a break, they tell you to do something in that break. Lunchtime, we get 20 minutes to eat, and then 40 minutes we have to play with the kids in the playground. And it was one of those jobs that just like took, even if that was all I did, it would be a full load for me. It was a very demanding, very strenuous job. But at the same time, I had come home. I had to take care of Ethan. Ethan had just been born. He was 3 months old, and he was crying all the time, and pooping everywhere, waking up 4, 5, 6 times a night. And I had Mina, you know, breastfeeding and saying, like, oh, my back hurts, my feet hurts. And at the same time, I had to help run this church. And at the same, it was one of the most demanding times in my life. It really was. It was one of those times where I had no rest, I had no Sabbath. I go to work on Monday through Friday, go to Friday Fire, prepare sermons on Saturday, preach that sermon on Sunday, do membership class, sometimes lead praise. It was such a hectic time for me. But what strengthened me and gave me grace to do everything with excellence were these quiet moments I had with God. And I sought it out because I knew that I needed it. It was one of those things where I sought it out. I would drive. My morning drive was 10 minutes because I live pretty close to my hagwon. But 10, 15 minutes, I would always spend that time. And it wasn't like praying or speaking in tongues. It was just silently. It was a moment of silence. And I was listening for his voice. There's moments in the shower where I would be showering and I would be just meditating on God. And he would give me sermons. He would download sermon series in my head. You know, I went through 2 years of that, working like that, but every sermon I preached, I did it with excellence. I never had a Sunday where I didn't come to church without a sermon to preach. But it came from those moments of listening and being in God's presence. You know, sometimes your days, sometimes your schedule is going to be mad hectic. But it doesn't mean that your presence and time with God can be shortened. You know what? It means that your presence and that time with God is even that much more important now. If your schedule is that intense, you have that much on you, then you have to be that much more zealous to have that time listening for the voice of the Lord. Because in that time, however short moment that is, there's going to be immense grace packed into there for you to be able to be in His presence and hear His voice. Next, my third point, what distracts us from the voice of the Lord is the voice of our flesh. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." It says, "May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And we all know that, you know, the Bible tells us we're made of three things. Our body, which is our body, okay, is aware of the physical world around you. Your spirit, which came alive when we became a Christian, the Holy Spirit came within us, is aware of God within us. And everything else is your soul, okay, which is aware of yourself. Your soul is made up of your mind, what you think, your will, what you want, and your emotions, what you feel. Our spirit came alive and regenerated at salvation. Our bodies will be regenerated and glorified when Jesus returns for us. But we, as believers, are called to wage daily battles against our soulish nature or our sinful or fleshly nature. You know, our spirit is alive right now. It came alive. It's fully regenerate. Our bodies, you know, our bodies are wasting away. But we're going to get, you know, our glorified bodies, you know, like, I'm not going to look like this. I believe when I get my glorified body, I'm going to look hot. But our souls, God calls us to wage battle against our soulish nature daily. Galatians 5, I want to read this to you. "But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." He's not talking to non-Christians here. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the believers. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." I'm going to read that to you again. "And those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with his passions and desires." If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not condemn, become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. But what Paul is saying here is, if you belong to Christ Jesus, we have crucified our flesh. Paul says, he uses his word crucified, not just to point us to Jesus, but to show that killing our fleshly nature is not an easy thing to do. You know, it's not easy to crucify something. Especially when the thing that you're crucifying is your flesh. Crucifying other people's flesh is pretty easy. I think I can crucify Harry's flesh. Easy. I crucify your flesh, man. Don't do that. But crucifying your own flesh is hard. It's hard to get crucified. It's not like an easy thing to do. It's not like, oh, I'm gonna crucify my flesh. There he goes. I'm done. No, man, it's like nailing your flesh to a cross. You take this big old, this is the imagery that Paul gives us. You get these big old, like, stakes and you're drilling your flesh to death upon that cross. And he's saying, do it continuously. It's not an easy thing to do. It's tough. 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. We crucify our flesh, but in the process of sanctification that God has over us, sometimes we become really good at resurrecting our flesh. We're like, you know, Harry Potter, like, what does they say? And they come to life. We do that all the time with our flesh. Even as a pastor, I do it, man. I'm like, I've crucified my flesh. And then Mina will do something like, how dare you? How could you? I did it today. Before I left for this sermon. You know, like Mina's mom came and cleaned our whole house, which awesome. But then I don't know where anything is anymore. And all of, like, I used to know, I have this thing, it's like this thing that I have. I hate losing things, right? I really do. I think it's from, you know, like it's been like, it's like trauma from my past when I would lose stuff and my mom would just like say, oh, you know, when I was young, this is one of those tangents. When I was young, my mom bought me a brand new leather jacket and the second day I lost it. I left it at Copeland Sports, right? Because we were looking for skis. And then she's like, oh, you lose things all the time. And then when I was in high school, my dad gave me his truck, his pickup truck. And then it got stolen from our school. And so the first thing my dad says isn't like, oh, tough break, you lost your car. It's like, oh, you lose things. How are you going to lose your car, right? So I think that got ingrained in my head. So I hate losing things. And so when Mina's mom came and just basically just flipped our house upside down and put everything into this nice orderly place, I know where nothing is. And so before I left for church, I couldn't find, I was looking for something, I couldn't find it. And I was like, oh, your mom threw it away again. Your mom threw everything away. And I'm just like going off on Mina. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll ask my mom if she threw it away. And I was like, ah, it's fuming. And I was like, in my flesh, I resurrected my flesh over these silly things. These are just like trinkets. You know, they belong to me, but they're just trinkets. If I told you what it was, you would make fun of me. So I'm not going to tell you what it was. But then I just went through the drawers and I found it. And I was like, oh, snap. I had to go back to me. I apologize. I'm sorry. But you know what? We resurrect our flesh all the time. We say, you know, it says in the Bible that those are with Christ has crucified the flesh. But you know what? That crucifying is not something that is done and it's done. But we have to continually do it. And let me tell you, our flesh sounds awful familiar because it sounds just like us. The voice of the flesh and the voice of God sometimes can sound very similar because they both sound just like us. It's not like you hear the audible voice of God, Caleb, you will do this. No. It's God puts impressions upon our spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll impress upon our spirit and then we hear our thoughts, and within our hearts, we hear what God is leading us into. But then that sounds awfully similar to like our flesh, which sounds just like us too. And it's really easy to mix those two things apart. In order for us to hear God better, we have to quit listening to our flesh so much. Our soul so much. Sometimes we have to turn off our reasoning and to put our emotions into neutral when we are listening for an answer from God. Because you know what? Our flesh is always going to have its vote. Your flesh will always have its vote on what things should be. But we need to ignore all that voting and listen to your spirit, which hears from God. In that place of faith. I want to tell you, if we determine to do something no matter what anyone says, then we might not hear God when he's telling us something that we're not supposed to do. Have you ever done that? Have you ever already made up your mind before you even went before the Lord? If we have weighed the pros and cons and we have made the choice which seems to be the most rational to our minds, then we might not feel the need to ask God about it, even though he might guide us to an even better decision. If we really, really want to do something, then our emotions can drown out God when he is trying to prevent us from making a mistake. This illustrates how our wills, our minds, our emotions can hinder us from hearing the voice of God. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and all these things. You hear this and you're saying, man, that's not me. I've never had an orgy in my life. It doesn't start like this. It starts small. A little bit of lust, a little bit of envy, a little bit of offense. But if we keep it up in our minds and in our hearts, it will start to drown out the voice of the Lord in our lives. And can put us on a path where it's almost impossible to hear what God is saying. Because you're tuned into your flesh. Our flesh doesn't sound like crazy. Go and rob a liquor store. Sometimes it does. But most of the time our flesh is very logical. Our flesh is very reasonable. Oh, just... It's not like you're going to go and sleep with a prostitute. Just check out that girl. Look what she's wearing. It's not like, you know... It's not like, you know, you're going to go like you know, and kill this person. But you know what? That person, what you did really sucked, man. Yeah, I think it's okay for you to be, you know, a little bit of unforgiveness and remain in that place of you know, just for a little while. That's what our flesh sounds like. It doesn't sound like these crazy things like fits of anger and drunkenness and orgies and whatnot. It sounds very reasonable to us. But you know what? A little bit like that, when it gets continued, left within our spirit, left within our minds to fester and remain, it can keep us from hearing the voice of the Lord. It can make it almost impossible to hear the voice of the Lord because we get so in tune to the voice of our flesh. Next is the voice of the world. It's very similar to the flesh. But we see mainstream media and it's pumping this message into your mind. Be free. It's all about you. You make your destiny. You do what you want. Don't let anyone tell you what to do. Isn't that what mainstream media pumps in every song that you hear? Is do what you want to do. Feel how you want to feel. I want to tell you, that kind of thinking is very slippery. You know why? Because that's exactly how I started to think in my rebellion. You know, I grew up feeling inferior because I was Korean in America. Right? I felt like I was always looked down upon, perceived as weak, docile, second class. It didn't help that there were a lot of racist kids in my school when I was young, calling me Ching Chong and, you know, all these things. But I got to a point in my life where I felt like, man, I want to feel powerful. I'm going to start to do what I want to do. I want to do what I want. I'm not going to let anyone tell me what to do. I'm going to live free. And that's the people that I started to hang around with. I started hanging around with druggies, you know, bike messengers, and dope dealers. Because I felt like when I saw them, they were like, man, they do whatever they want. They don't give a crap. But you know what? That's a liberal mindset. That's infiltrating our culture. Even here in Korea, do what you want. Do what you want. Don't let anyone tell you, tell you what to do. You do what you want, you get yours. Your destiny is in your hands. And I'm telling you, you go down this path, and it's very hard to hear the voice of the Lord. I went down that path. You know what? I went down the path where my life spiraled down into this crazy abyss where I ended up in prison. And the voice that I was hearing was that. Do what you want. Don't let anyone tell you differently, man. You live your life. Follow, your destiny is in your hands. No, your destiny is in God's hands. You got to hear the voice of the Lord. You got to hear how God is directing you at this time. You got to hear what the Word of God is saying for your life right now. You got to know where He is, what He is telling you to do, and how He's telling you to live it. But if you keep listening to that voice of the world pumping in your ear, it's a slippery slope, man. And right now in America, that's the dominant voice. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do. And right now the gay marriage and all of that, it started out as, give us equal rights, and now it's like, well, you can't do what you want to do because now it's stepping upon my emotions and how I feel. It's a very slippery slope when we continue to hear the voice of the world. Next is the voice of the enemy. Lust, shame, greed, rage. He's going to try to tempt you with sin. And when you do, he will keep you in that sin through shame. And man, we sometimes, the moment that we sin, we don't hear the Holy Spirit calling us to that place of repentance. We hear the devil saying, man, you are dirty, dude. You are dirty. How dare you? What do you think who do you think you are? We get into this place of like, oh, I'm no better than this. Because we're not hearing what God is telling us. We're not hearing and we're not in tune with the voice of the Lord. We're in tune to the voice of the enemy. He speaks shame over you. He speaks lie. It says in the Bible, his whole thing is to come and kill, steal, and destroy you. And this is my last point. Not always, but people around you can distract you from hearing from the Lord. Even well-meaning believers, that's why we have to be discerning and discern what spirit they're speaking. In Acts 20, Paul is compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. Okay? Holy Spirit tells him, man, you're going to go to Jerusalem. He's like, you know what? I know I'm going to suffer for this, but Holy Spirit's telling me to go to Jerusalem. But in chapter 21, a prophet named Agabus comes, takes his belt and ties Paul up and says, this is what the Jews in Jerusalem will do to you. And even Paul's companion, Luke's one of them, he's writing the book of Acts, says, when we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be in prison, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, let the will of the Lord be done. When Jesus told his disciples that he's going to get crucified, what did Peter? Peter takes him aside and he rebukes him. He's like, man, never, Lord. This will never happen to you. Peter meant well, but what does Jesus say? He's like, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. When we hear voices around us, there's a lot of voices, our friends, our families. We have to understand that those voices, we have to discern the spirit in which people are talking to us. Even our closest friends, sometimes we have to know and understand and discern the voice and discern the spirit in which they're talking. Now, people think when I counsel people in decisions that I'm going to tell them what to do. I'm going to force them to do what I want to do. Man, I don't want to do that. That's a lot of stress. I do not want the responsibility of commanding you to do something in your life and having you live out that life and that responsibility fall on me. But I do want to make sure that when people are making decisions that they are being discerning. and not being led by their flesh or swayed by people or other influences. I do want to make sure that you are hearing rightly from the Lord, and I will speak into what the Lord is speaking into me regarding your situation. It's all about discernment. We have to be discerning. We have to be discerning of the voices that we hear around us. We have to be discerning of the people that are speaking. I want to close with this. I want us to all turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 16. Okay. It says, let's read it all together in the ESV. Ephesians 1, verse 16. 1, 2, 3. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. That he may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. What we need to hear the voice of the Lord is discernment. What we need to hear God over all of the other voices, over the all of the other things, over all of the other clatter and clink clank of the world around us. What we need to hear his voice is the spirit of discernment. We have to discern what voice is the voice of the Lord that is speaking over us. What we need is discernment to hear, know, and understand what the Lord has for us at this hour. And it means quieting a lot of these voices that's trying to speak into us. Quieting our flesh. Quieting the things in our lives. Quieting our responsibilities. Quieting the voice of the chatter of the people around us. And coming down and discerning the voice of the Lord as he speaks over you. Let's close our eyes. Let's close with prayer. Father God, we thank you, and we love you, and we thank you that you call us your sheep, and we thank you that you say over us that we hear your voice. We thank you that you do speak to us, and Lord, we thank you that we can hear you and that we can follow you. And right now, I pray that over every single person in this room, that you will continue to quiet all of the other voices that are trying to drown out your voice. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to quiet all of those voices, all of those different noises that are out there that's trying to drown out the voice of the Lord. I pray that you'll remove those priorities from our lives. And I pray that you will set the number one priority to be the voice of the Lord in our lives. That we will hear, that we will hunger to hear your voice, that we will seek and that we will desire to hear your voice. Even when things get loud, even when things get hectic, even when things start to storm around us, I pray, Lord, that you will give us the zeal and the hunger to seek to hear your voice and what you are speaking over us, God. Right now, I pray over every single person in this room. I pray the spirit of discernment, the spirit of wisdom and of revelation upon us, God. That we will be a people that are discerning and understanding and able to pick out your voice. And to not just to hear your voice, but like you said that your sheep hear your voice. They know you. They hear your voice and they follow you. I pray that when we hear your voice, that we will follow you. That we will follow your spirit. That we will follow your words. That we will follow your leading. Help us to hear. Help us to hear. Help us to listen. And help us to understand. and help us to do. Right now, I silence every distraction. Every distraction of this world. Every distraction within our lives, God. You know, they may be important, but right now I silence all of those distractions. And I pray right now that what will rise above those distractions will be the voice of the Lord. That we will fall upon our ears. It will fall upon our spirit. And that we will hear rightly from God. That we will hear rightly from the Lord. That we will choose to hear. There is a choice there. That we will choose to hear the voice of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be discerning, God. Help us to be discerning. We thank you, Lord, that you are not silent. Even when you are silent, you're not silent. You're always speaking over us. You speak life over us. You speak eternity over us. You speak grace over us. You speak goodness over us. You speak peace over us. You speak repentance over us. You speak righteousness over us. Help us to hear. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand up.